Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It is nice to see all those lovely faces on this lovely, cool Sunday that we are so ready to have. Invitation to worship will be on the screen. Today is the first day of our week. Open your hearts and receive God's breath of life. Come, let us worship the Lord with great joy. Amen. Opening prayer, please. All in unison. Our Heavenly Father, forgive us, for our hearts are often not pure, and our values and motives not godly. We ask you to help us to focus on living a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, teach us to be pure at heart. Amen.
Morning. At the last Administrative Council meeting, we brought forward an idea for Dam Patch Days, trying to have a presence back in the community, get involved a little bit, that we would be a vendor and have a booth there. And what the booth is going to consist of, several years ago, we had a good friend who invited us up to Kendallville. They have a thing called Kids Day, where they take their county fairgrounds, and they have a bunch of activities that are just for kids. They'll have like 25 or 30 different activities, and the whole fairgrounds is just for kids to come and have a good time for the day. And the project that our friend chose to do was a project that they make a small wood item. The child makes a small wood item with a little bit of assistance, and then they keep that wood item as a keepsake for coming to the fair. And then every year they would do a different wood project. So a kid would come back the next year and wouldn't have to make the same thing. For 5 years running, that project was voted the most popular kids activity out of the whole fairgrounds. And so, you know, thinking, I'm always happy to steal somebody's good idea, that why couldn't we do something like that? So what she did, she told me that their most popular item that they made was this little step stool, and it has 9 pieces, and while it took me about an hour and a half to do this, I think we can get it down to about 5 to 10 minutes. So what we just talked about doing at the booth is we're going to have this project for kids to make. We're going to give away little ice cream cups, strawberry, vanilla, or chocolate, and we'll just give those away, and we will also have the small little bottles of water to give to people. From when the weather I see, it's supposed to start getting hot again after the 1st of September, so it's going to be warm, I think. Hopefully it's a good idea and gets us back in the community. So thank you. We're looking forward to it. And if it's successful, I intend to do it next year with a different project. They've done birdhouses and toolboxes and, you know, any little thing that might happen. Talk to Becky Vandeveer's family about this project. And they have agreed with us that they're going to use some of Becky's memorial money to purchase the wood and materials to do this. And a couple of the kids are going to come down and work one of the shifts that they want to be a part of doing that. So really something that Becky, I think, would have really been behind, something for kids. So
what a wonderful idea. We're glad to see everyone here this morning. Would you join me in prayer, please? Dear God, please heal our friends who are ill and be with our friends who are struggling with other situations in their lives. Fill them with peace and joy that I know can only come from you during their hard times. Walk closely beside them during their journey to recovery. Amen. Living God, we are gathered together to listen to your word and to witness to its truths. We give joyously today and dedicate this offering to your work. We are inspired to share your glorious love with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Increase our talents and offerings so that your name is exalted with unending praise. Blessed is your name. Amen. Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning again. Scripture today comes from Matthew 5:8, and then a Psalm 24. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down, and his disciples came to him. And he began to teach them, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." From Psalm, "Who can ascend the Lord's mountain? Who can stand in his holy sanctuary? Only the one with clean hands and a pure heart, the one who hasn't made false promises, the one who hasn't sown dishonesty. That kind of person receives blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God who saves. And that's how things are with the generation that seeks him, that seeks the face of Jacob's God." Selah. The Word of God. Thanks be to God. As I was out doing some errands this week and looking for some shampoo, actually for my granddaughter, I saw a bottle of shampoo called Ever Pure, which kind of made me think of this beatitude, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Don't ask me how I got from there to there. I don't have any clue, but that's where it went. So that leaves, but nevertheless, the whole idea of that pure in heart, I don't know about you, but at times that kind of leaves me out. So what does it mean to be pure in heart? Because I know that I'm not always pure, as in being that sense of pure in heart and my motives and my thoughts and sometimes the things that I would like to say that I don't say. But today's beatitude is encouraging nonetheless. I think it's something that we really don't mind striving for and something that we don't mind being becoming, as compared to some of the other beatitudes. I mean, none of us aspire to being poor in spirit, and we're all going to mourn the loss of those we love in our lifetimes. We'll grieve for the sins of the world and our own. Few of us want to hunger and thirst, and we're unsure what righteousness is. We already know our society stomps on the meek, so we really don't want to be that. Being merciful, well, that appears a whole lot nicer, but usually the person that we're supposed to be merciful toward isn't someone we usually want to be more merciful toward, or that we even like. So it's not something we really like to do or spend a lot of time aiming ourselves toward. It's just easier to let someone else love our enemies. But finally, we kind of have this beatitude that sounds appealing to most of us, maybe even attainable. I mean, everybody wants to be pure in heart, mind, and body. Don't you? Don't you want to be pure in your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul? And that's why we sing that prayer, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," or one of my favorites, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary." I mean, most of us don't set out to think murderous thoughts. of someone who has done us wrong. Most of us don't set out to do like the guy did to me when I pulled out in front of him accidentally. I simply didn't see him. And then, you know, he shouted obscenities and gave me hand gestures. And then as I'm pulling up behind him, it has this bumper sticking on it that says, "I hope you know Jesus loves you." There's a little bit of confusion there going on. Create in me a pure heart, O God. So here's this beatitude that we can kind of live with. And in my excitement that we finally have this positive beatitude, well, I did what any good preacher would do. And I Googled the word pure and pure stuff. And sure enough, Google will prove your point every time. Particularly now that we live in a, well, sort of post-COVID world. Because it didn't take me long to discover that there are a lot of pure products out there. Everybody is putting the name pure in front of their stuff. And today, people are really about pure and natural stuff. And particularly if you're of the younger generation, it's all about natural. I have to confess, I'm one of those natural pure people. So, but here's a list of things that you can purchase. There's always Purell, and there's dozens like it. There's also pure water, pure oils, yoga, pure prescriptions, skin products, household cleaners, pet products, food, even pure love. There's a pure bar, a natural, healthy, organic, gluten-free snack bar that really doesn't taste all that bad. And there are companies called Pure Insurance or Pure Fiber, Pure Boutique, Pure FM Radio, and the one, my favorite, a Pure Nightclub. I'm not sure how a Pure Nightclub works, and I didn't Google it to find out. But what I have learned is if we stamp the word pure on it, and the label says pure, we're likely to buy it. That's why they keep putting the word on it. So today's beatitude is all about pure stuff. Now that word pure means unmixed with any other matter. It means that it's free from dust and dirt and other contamination kind of things. It's free from being harsh or rough. Pure then is basically clean and free from anything different, inferior. In the Greek, the word katharios is used, and it indicates being clean or free from stain, shame, adulteration, and it signifies a physical, a moral, and religious kind of cleanliness. So we get being physically clean, right? Take a bath, wash your hair, brush your teeth. But what's the religious and moral purity business about? Because Jesus says, "Blessed are those with pure motives, for they shall see God." Once again, as in this previous beatitude, the meaning of pure in heart is kind of multi-layered in meaning. There's a lot going on in that one little statement. And so it goes much deeper than what generally meets the naked eye. Scholars tell us that Jesus probably took this verse from Psalm 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in God's holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts. Now, if you research the concept, you learn pretty quickly that the Bible will spend a lot of time talking about being pure and clean. But it makes the point that we understand that God is more concerned with the inside of our soul than what we look like on the outside. God is more concerned about our thoughts inwardly and the way we behave inwardly and the things we think inwardly than God is about how we behave on the outside. Most of the laws in Leviticus are about making people pure and clean and free from the stains of worshiping other gods, no gods, or cult worship. In the New Testament, the letters sent to the early churches spent a lot of time defining purity and how we're to purify ourselves. Philippians says, whatever is true, honorable, pure, pleasing, commendable, if there's any excellent, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about pure in heart. James says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. But the point of these is that for Christians, purity of heart and loving God are all tied together. We should stop and sometimes think about what we say and how we treat one another, because our relationship with God comes from the heart of who we are. I mean, we all know the stories of the Pharisees and how they walked around and they made sure everybody knew who they were. And that's not what Jesus is talking about, because if you remember, Jesus often took them to task, because outwardly they looked really good, but on the inside their hearts not so much. First Peter tells us, now that you have purified your souls by being obedient to the truth, you have genuine and sincere mutual love. So love one another from the heart. Being pure in heart has everything to do with who we are on the inside and the state of our hearts. Again, Jesus warned the Pharisees and us to seek to have pure motives. The Pharisees, you know, they had boiled down their religion kind of to this set of rules and regulations, and they meticulously followed them. They were concerned with the external, with the washing their hands three times before they ate or after they touched someone. I mean, if they touched someone like us, they were due for a bath. You know, it was time for a bath because we were considered impure and unclean. We often forget that in the Bible, we're not Jesus, we're the Gentiles. And we often forget that. And Jesus said, we're not to be like that. We're not to be like those who gave their gifts so that everyone could notice how generous they were or wore their holiness on their sleeves for everybody else to see. Jesus said they don't seek to help others out of sincere gratitude and worship or to give thanks for what God had done. They give so that they can be proud and that they can boast. So they can say, hey God, see how holy I am? See how much I give? See what I did? Especially, you know, compared to those cheap other people. See what I did? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, whose motives are pure, and they will see God. Blessed are the pure heart who have honest desires. So how honest are our desires? Because Jesus is saying that those who are pure in heart have hearts that seek not to get over on someone or get away with something, but to live each day seeking to please God, to know God better, and to follow Christ in all things that they can, the best that they can. For the Greeks, you see, the heart was the central organ of the body, and it referred to the seat of everything they thought, all of their emotions. So in the New Testament, when you read the New Testament, a pure heart is defined as the seat of emotion, our feelings, our desires, our passions, our thoughts, our understanding, and our will. So Scripture makes it clear that worshiping God is more than this outer display. It can't just be an outer thing that everyone can see, but an inner thing and a matter of the heart. You know, every day, I'm not here every day, but I imagine, just like just about any other church, just about every day somebody's walking in and somebody's walking out. And on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, they see us walking in and they see us walking out and they see us in the community. But you know, if they see us in the grocery store and we chew out the cashier, we haven't been a very good witness. And our hearts haven't been all that pure. Create in us a clean heart, oh God. Remember that what God said to Samuel, when I was looking for a king to replace Saul. Do not look on the appearance or the height of his stature, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Did you know God's looking on your heart? Doesn't that put a whole new spin on things for you? I thought of that, I thought, ouch. You know, ouch. God looks on our heart. Isaiah told the people that God wasn't happy with those who draw near with their mouths and honor him with their lips while their hearts are far from him. Well, that's kind of scary. I mean, we can tell people all about Jesus that we want. We can honor Jesus all that we want. But if our hearts aren't really lining up with what we say and do, well, then we kind of miss this beatitude. So before we get all excited about this beatitude, we probably better consider the being heart that Christ is calling for isn't this easy and simple thing that it sounds. Most of us seek to look for pure things like pure honey, but there are probably very few people who really seek on a daily basis to be pure in heart. Eric Kobel says in the book What Jesus Meant that each beatitude demands something of us except this one. It demands everything. In fact, there may be nothing more difficult in all the world, he says, than to come to God pure and unalloyed because we are so suffused with things that distract us from being fully present and attentive to God. Being pure in heart, then, we might say, is a first cousin to hungering and thirsting for righteousness, but at its most basic level. Being pure means that we are living in a right relationship with God and others. That we are actually stepping back and taking time to say, am I living in a right relationship with God? And are the words that I'm about to speak to this person what God intend me to say? Are they pure in the thought of God? There are others. I can say that, you know, I have probably known a few people that might be pure in heart. Tom Long says, the pure in heart are those whose faith is genuine, people of integrity, whose words are backed up by their convictions, and whose outward deeds match their inner commitments. I don't know about you, but I can think of just a few that are close to being pure. And I think that being pure in heart is something that we are always striving to attain. I can honestly say that my motivations and my thoughts aren't always pure. Confession time. They weren't real pure when I went through McDonald's and they once again served me up cold fries. And Mike will tell you just how pure my heart is when they mess up my order. Which is why I really don't like to go through the drive-thru. Because it's probably not going to turn out well for me. And we laugh, but being pure in heart can be as simple as that. It can be as simple as that. You know, what is it that you would have liked to have said? Others say the very second our thoughts are pure, they're defiled, and it's probably true. There are people like Mother Teresa who was declared to be pure heart, but even after her death, they found in her journals that she too struggled with and questions about God and life and the purity of her own heart. So I think that pure in heart is kind of like going on to perfection. While we might arrive, we soon fall, only to find ourselves having to arrive again. John Wesley always said in terms of going on to perfection that, you know, you might get to where you think the perfection is, and then you find out you have one more step to take. because we're never good enough. We're always moving on to that better place. It's kind of like Shane Claiborne, one of my favorite authors, who says that I was born again and again and again and again. And it's true. We fall down and we got to get back up again. So for most of us, being pure in heart and pure in motive is that attitude that we're going to have to strive for throughout our lives. And that's why we confess our sins in the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, because we know that each week we continue to mess up as a faith community and as individuals. So we may never get this pure in heart thing right, not at least until this beatitude says we will see God. And so what does that mean, to see God? After all, that's the benefit, that's the prize of the blessing. We get to see God. And I think that that's really exciting, and I think that's really cool. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, that's something everybody wants, to see God. Mostly because we have a lot of questions. It'd still be really, really nice to know if God really looks like those pictures hanging on the wall. And I have a few questions for Eve. Exodus tells us, though, that God spoke to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. But it's kind of weird, this see God thing, because then we read another story that indicates that when Moses struggled to address the groaning and the moaning of the Israelites, and out of complete exasperation and desperation, Moses says to God, show me your glory, I want to see your face. Show up. Show me your face. In other words, Moses, he was doing everything God asked him to do, who led the Israelites out of slavery across the wilderness, you know, over to this promised land, and he asked to see God's face. Now that seems kind of reasonable to me. What about you? I mean, Moses was a faithful servant. If anybody gets to ask to see God's face, Moses does. Yeah, it's kind of gutsy if you ask me demanding to see the face of God, but this guy is Moses. And God replies, you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live. Really? And that's exactly what the people believed. And, well, if you're looking in the face of God, you're dead. We kind of believe that too. But actually, Scripture tells us to see God would be more than we could bear, more than we could understand or even look upon. So to look upon God's face would bring this certain death, because it's too unbearable to see the goodness of the glory of God. Yet in Genesis, when Jacob struggled with the angel all night and renames the place where he wrestled Peniel, meaning the face of God, because he said in amazement, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. So what does Jesus mean when he promises that the pure in heart will see God? For the Greeks, seeing or sight wasn't just a physical thing. It had this intellectual and the spiritual component. And they realized that physical sight is limited. And in mythology, the gods could only be seen by a few, and then it was often visionary and in very frightening ways. Plato said that we contemplate God with the eye of our soul. So seeing in today's text means more than this physical sight or beholding something. It means to see with your soul. For Jesus, seeing included one's inner thoughts and perceptions, not just what could be viewed with the naked eye. And that the face is the part of our body which most clearly expresses what we think and feel. And it's easier to determine what someone is saying when we can see them face to face. But the word face in Greek and Hebrew means presence. It means holy presence. Not just a physical presence, but a spiritual presence. So in recognizing the presence of God, we see God. How many times in worship have you heard somebody say, I felt the presence of God? What they're really saying is, in the midst of that service, I saw God today. God showed up. Blessed are the pure in heart. So those who have a pure heart have pure motives, and they seek to see God as best they can because they cultivate within them those spiritual practices which lead to spiritual discernment, growth, serving God, and loving others. Those who are pure in heart strive to make life better for others and themselves, and they see God everywhere they look. Where do you see God? Where do you see God? You know, it's kind of a funny question, because whenever I ask that question, I get a whole bunch of different answers. Anything from blank stares to disoriented looks, and answers that rank from seeing God in music and worship and memorial service to prayers before basketball games. And duh, you can't see God. Other folks, they've seen God in something that happened at work or at school or in the neighborhood. I see God in this place every day. When I think of you who have committed your lives to the ministry of this church, saw God this morning in the music that we worshiped by. Some of you serve on committees. Others of you serve in community. Most of you care for the needs and the pains of one another, not just in the church, but in your community as well. I see God in the faces that sit before me and serve in community. You see, when our hearts and our souls are open and purified by the things of God, when we turn our faces toward God, the things of God, then we will see God in many people, places, and things. We see God in the forest trees, the meandering brook, and on the scales of a fish, the rising and setting of the sun, and freshly falling snow. I know none of us want to think about snow right now. But we will also all see God one day face to face. Corinthians says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. That now we know only in part, but then we will know fully, even as we have been known. So until that day, when we see God face to face, let us look for our glimpses of God in the faces of our neighbors. When others only see another person, and the homeless, the hungry, the unclothed, and the person who just needs a kind word. I don't know how many of you remember Billy Ray Cyrus, but I think he sums up this beatitude beautifully when he writes the song, The Face of God, and he says, and why am I filled with unshakable faith when I look at that child so fragile and sweet? There's something eternal I see in her face, something more than her mother and me. Maybe I'm looking at the face of God. Makes me think I may be looking at the face of God, and he's smiling back at me. Why do I feel the smallest of things when I try to count all the stars in the sky? When I see the world that we're in at its worst, why do I feel like it'll all be all right when I look at the beauty around me and the love that surrounds me? Maybe I'm looking at the face of God. Makes me think I may be looking at the face of God, and he's smiling back at me. In this life, in the here and now, we have sneak previews and beautiful glimpses of what it means to be pure in heart and see God. We see God in the laughter of children, the blooms of spring. The neighbor who brings us a casserole when we need help, the beggar on the street corner who lives in the woods, the family who gathers around a loved one dying, and the stories that we share, and our laughter and our tears. Yes, we can see images of God when our hearts are pure, uncluttered, and clean. When we're empty and quiet enough to see, quiet enough to pray, make my motives and the desires of my heart pure. pure. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.